Welcome back to Dev Talks Podcast. Today I am sitting down with Lisa Durnell. She is running for state rep for District 154. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. How are you doing today?
I am doing really well.
So getting started, let's talk a little bit about you, who you are, why you decided to run. So I'm going to just let you have the floor right now.
Okay. My name is Lisa Durnell, and I am a lifelong resident of South Central Missouri. I grew up between Mountain View and Willow Springs, about 1 mile north of the Texas Howell line.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been here my whole life, except for the 4 years that I attended Mizzou and went and got my degree. But my goal was always to move back down here because I love the area, love my little town of Mountain View.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met a Willow boy, and that changed things. So I am actually living at Willow Springs, have been since 2000.
Okay.
And I love this area. I love my county. I love my state. And just watching everything that has been going on, I decided that maybe it was time for a run. So.
And that's the thing. Mountain View, you know, like we were talking about before this, it is one of the last strongholds of conservative Christian values. You know, you have Texas, you have Florida, you have Missouri. Those three have stood tall and proud as far as being the voice to the conservative party. In my opinion, I feel like, and this is getting kind of off subject, but like Texas is starting to fall as far as a strong conservative state. What are some things that you're going to bring to the table in Jeff City?
Well, I hope to be a consistent conservative voice. In years past, it seems like across the state, Republicans mm-hmm. are getting elected, but then they are not necessarily voting conservatively.
Yes.
And I want to bring a more consistent conservative voice to our seat
yeah.
from 154. It's been pretty disturbing to watch over the last few years as I've watched things play out in Jeff City. In 2023, we actually, the Republicans, had a supermajority in both the House and the Senate. But after session was over, the Democrats were on the stairs of the Capitol celebrating all of their accomplishments from that session. And in my opinion, that was just wrong.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to have more conservative ideas brought up on the floor and addressed. Mm-hmm. And I do see the need for being able to work across the line
yes.
some. You can't just completely shut them out. But I just felt that was a little excessive yeah. for them to actually be celebrating
yeah.
their accomplishments when we've got a lot that we need to get done on the conservative side of things.
Yes. Do you think the conservative party, like nowadays, do you think it's them so worried about, this is what I feel about like how the conservatives do now, is it feels like they're so worried about the outrage from the other side that they have given in more than the Democrats are willing to give in?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I feel like the Democrats have become geniuses at playing the long game.
Yep.
They don't care if it takes them decades to get to the end result that they're trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll take those little victories
yep.
one after the other. And we've gotten to a place where now the conservatives are kind of on their heels and kind of backed into a corner. And we're going to have to stop that bleeding at some point.
I agree.
And so that's why I would like to be that conservative voice and be someone who can be depended on to bring that to the vote
yeah.
Every time that there is, you know, the opportunity to do so.
Yeah.
As far as something that I would like to see advanced, something that has been going on in our nation since all of this illegal immigration has been taking place.
That has been a mess.
In the last few months, there's been an increase in squatters.
In houses?
In houses.
Okay.
Yes. Across the country. They've figured out some of the squatters laws,
mm-hmm.
and they have capitalized on it by moving into empty houses mm-hmm. and then being able to, at the very least, cause the homeowner a lot of expense and problems,
yeah.
if not actually succeeding in getting to take over that property. It's crazy.
It is.
And so I want to be able to look into Missouri's squatter laws
mm-hmm.
and see if that's something that we need to strengthen to make sure that that doesn't start happening here.
Well, I know a bunch of locals around here who have had that problem, who have actually had firsthand experience with these squatters. And to me, I cannot wrap my head around the idea that if you own a property and someone is trespassing on your property, that you cannot remove them forcefully from your property.
I understand that. <It's> crazy. No, I completely agree with that. So
yeah, I don't know. Is that just a failure on the legislative level as far as those laws? I mean, I don't know what those laws like came from, where they came from.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I'm just going to have to look into that. But yeah, that's one idea that's been circulating in my head the last couple weeks was, yep, we need to make sure that our laws are strong.
Exactly.
And you know, honestly, they might be. I just want to explore that
and to make
sure, more in depth, to make sure, because I think that's something very important to protect the Missouri citizens from, because that would be a scary situation, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, you know, you were talking about this immigration problem just a minute ago. If you go through Mountain View on any given day, I have seen more panhandling, more homeless, more just begging for money than I. And I'm not saying, you know, some people might need it, whatever, but it's in these small towns, if we're starting to see the effect, imagine what Springfield, St. Louis, Kansas City, all these bigger places are, how they're being affected.
Right. I agree. And I think we need to make no mistake that it is going to affect us,
yes,
even in small towns.
Yes.
Right now, a lot of the illegal immigrants are being shipped to the sanctuary cities. Mm-hmm. But eventually, we're going to have that effect, yeah, from them, and I fear that it's sooner rather than later.
That's my fear also.
We do need to get a handle on it, and I know that Brad Hudson got a bill passed on some illegal immigration that did strengthen some positions on that.
Okay.
For Missouri.
And Brad Hudson is, for the people who don't know,
he is a House, or he's a representative,
okay,
currently,
okay,
from over toward Stone County.
Okay.
So,
yep, yeah. So he was working on some good immigration policy.
He did, yes.
Okay. How have you met with some of the people that you could be working with up there in Jeff City? And how do you think your relationship with them will be as far as you think those are people you're going to be able to work with and bring about a better Missouri?
I certainly hope so.
Yes.
And I have met a few of them. Brad Hudson is one that I have met. I have also met Bill Eigel, who is running for governor.
Yep.
I was able to meet him approximately a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the Capitol that day. We just went up for a praise and worship kind of thing in the Capitol, and it was incredible. And then afterwards, I was able to meet Senator Eigel. And then I also had another representative reach out to me since I filed,
okay,
and offer to help me as far as just getting my bearings, yep, knowing what to do. But I have watched for the last several years, I have watched the goings on in Jefferson City. I have not done this for hours upon hours. I don't want you to misconstrue what, yep, I'm saying, but I have listened to House sessions, mm-hmm, Senate debate. I kind of have gotten a feel for what's been going on up there. And so I'm not completely
in the dark.
In the dark, yeah, to how the process works. Obviously, any of the ones of us that would be elected,
mm-hmm,
as of right now, we're all going to be freshman legislators.
Yeah.
We're all going to have a learning curve. I mean, I can't say that any of us would know exactly what we're going to do and know all the people that we're going to be working with, because that would just,
exactly,
be false. None, yeah, of us do. Yeah. So I think that I do have a little bit of a head start as far as some of the people that I know in Jeff, mm-hmm, City, people that are really good at reading the legislation. And
that would be a hard thing.
Yes.
I've tried to look at some of that, and it seems like if you don't have a law degree, you're kind of in the dark.
Right. They write it very,
yeah,
technical and legal.
And even sometimes in there, you can look and like the first paragraph will say something, but the second one will contradict what it says.
Yes.
Like, it gets sneaky, you know?
It does get sneaky. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
I would rather see it be more straightforward, where any average person could sit down and read it and understand it without a,
yes,
lot of questions. But
I think that just is a whole new problem of how this, and I love our country and I love our state, but you know, the fact that we are capable of writing bills like that where the common person cannot understand. And then they stamp a great name on it, like the Patriot Act, you know, and
Yes.
then there you are, you know.
Right.
It just, why not with the legislation write it black and white, very clear to where me, I'm just a tire man. I run and grab it and I look at it and I'm like, okay, cool. I know what they're talking about.
Right.
You know, I mean,
It would be nice.
yeah.
It would be very
But
nice.
I think a lot of that comes from just sneaking stuff in, like we're talking about.
And that happens.
It
It does
does.
happen. I don't like that. And I think that will be one of the challenges that I face is, and this kind of goes along with what you're saying, to have a bill and then all the amendments that get tacked onto it. Because I might agree with the bill, but very strongly disagree with an amendment or vice versa. And so it's going to look like I voted, one way against something that I was for, or the other way around. And that I don't like that about it. But I think Missouri has a law where we have to keep on subject with the amendments that are attached. It has to be, that can only cover one subject,
Yes, so they can't
or
go
it's
off on.
constitutional.
Okay,
So,
well, that's good. I mean,
I do kind of have a beef with some of the unconstitutional things that go on in Jeff City, specifically, for example, the gas tax in 21. I was very upset about that and how that all came to be. That was one of the times when I tuned in big time to see what was going on up there, and it was a complete joke. I was very unhappy. They used the SAPA law, was trying to go through the Second Amendment Preservation Act, was trying to get passed at the same time as this gas tax.
So you had two things. You had the
Two
SAFE
things.
law and then this gas tax.
Yes. And you had Republicans in charge who could bring things to the floor. And one of the people that was in charge of that would not bring the gas tax, or excuse me, the SAPA law to the floor until the gas tax was
I
passed.
got you.
And he had, what I would say were ulterior motives for wanting the gas tax passed. And the gas tax had been voted down by the people three times already. And that's how a gas tax should be passed,
It's
is
so.
by a vote of the people,
Yes.
not through legislation. So they had to put this loophole in it to where you can file for a rebate on the gas tax. So if you want to keep all of your receipts
Oh,
every year for
yeah,
gas,
exactly, yeah.
and you want to go fill out their
Oh
paperwork,
my gosh.
and they make you write every single gas station and their address where you fueled up, how many gallons you got, and so forth for the entire year,
Oh my.
you can get your money back.
So they make it where they're like saying, well, you know, we're not saying you have to pay this, but if you don't, you're gonna have to do all this mumbo jumbo.
To get your money back.
And how many
But
people keep those
right.
receipts?
Well, I do,
Well, I don't blame you.
because I'm big on principle when it comes to stuff like that. It was unconstitutional what they did, and if it had been a vote of the people, fine. I'll pay my gas tax. It's fine. I can't do anything about that. Don't want to, if that's what, that's what they said. But whenever it's unconstitutional and they put it through legislation that way and then make you have to jump through the hoops to get your money back, that's just,
Sneaky.
yeah.
I mean, that.
And it went all through me
Yeah.
that they did that, and that they used the Second Amendment as leverage to get it to the floor. It was just kind of ugly that session.
Yeah. I mean, okay. And so this gas tax, is it a permanent, or is it got an expiration date on it?
It doesn't, but it goes up incrementally.
Oh, of
So
course it does. Yeah.
the first year, I believe it was 2.5 cents per gallon,
Okay.
and then the next year, 5 cents,
I remember this
seven and a
now.
half cents, 10 cents, 12.5 cents, and I can't remember the exact that it maxes out at, but then it stays there.
So they did kind of like how Mountain or Missouri did with minimum wage, you know, incrementally raise it until it hits the threshold. I got you.
So, those are the kind of
Yeah.
things that I hope to be able to stand strong against, because I don't like unconstitutional
I don't think anyone should, you know what I
bills.
mean? And
So, yes.
you would think there should be some recourse for the individuals wanting to push something like this through, if it is ruled unconstitutional. Like, I don't know about Missouri's law on this, but like, there should be some type of reprimand, even if it's just a letter of reprimand to say, hey, they passed this through without reading the Constitution or making sure it was a viable bill, you know?
Right. But the way that they got around it was that loophole with the rebate.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah,
they technically, you know, I guess kept it constitutional because of that, but
in the worst way possible.
But it's not really that great for the citizens.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, I mean, an average person doesn't keep all their receipts or even right. think about it. Because whenever I go and get gas, I just fill up and I head off to wherever I've got to go.
Right. It takes a little bit of organization. Uh-huh. I have a little yellow envelope for every console and every vehicle we own. And as soon as we gas up, we print that receipt and it goes in that envelope. And then...
So have
whenever
you,
it's time to get the money, and it's not like a huge amount of money yet.
Yeah,
you know, like the first year it was about $40.
Yes,
and then it was $80, but that will continue to go up, and it's the principal.
It's your money, not the government.
It is.
Like you were speaking about, you know, this campaign, it's not something that you just did off cuff. Like, you have been into the Missouri politics for quite a while now.
Yes, I have been observing from the sidelines.
Yes, yes.
And I have been affiliated with a group in Jeff City who is at the Capitol every day.
Okay.
And they give us, you know, like live updates from the balcony of the House or the Senate. And they tell us what is exactly going on and the games that are being played between politicians or what have you. And they actually also give us prayer alerts.
Okay.
So whenever there is something that is needing to be done or kept from being done on the floor, we may get an action alert to call a senator, call a representative, but we also get action alerts to pray now.
Oh.
And I think that is awesome. Really awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
So we're praying in real time for our legislative body and the things that are going through there. You know, just asking God to guide them.
Yes.
Because we need God to guide us in all of this.
Well, and that's been a big problem is, you know, they've tried to execute God and Christianity out of everything.
Yes.
And, you know, we were one nation under God at one point, and now we are one nation under the government. And that scares me.
It is scary. For sure.
So what are some of your stances that you're going to be, your big issues that you are going to be fighting on when or if you are elected?
Okay. There are some things that we're watching this session. I don't know if they're going to get through in this session and be a non-issue next year when I would actually take office or not, but we're just going to go with some of the issues right now that are being debated,
sure.
because that's pretty much all I have to go on. One of the big things that they're talking about in Jeff City this session is initiative petition reform.
Okay. Now, so, what is that exactly for the people?
Right. Okay. So there are three ways to be able to get something on a ballot.
Okay.
So that you would have a ballot measure for people at the polls. Initiative petition is one of those processes.
Okay.
And the citizens can get a petition going, and they have to have so many signatures. It's based on how many votes in the last gubernatorial election. It's kind of a little formula, but they have to get a certain number of signatures, and then they can get something to the ballot.
Okay.
In Missouri, our Constitution has 122 amendments already.
Oh, wow.
Which is a lot.
That is a lot.
In my opinion.
That is a lot.
And to be able to change the Constitution in Missouri, it takes very little to be able to change the biggest document in our state.
Yeah.
All it takes is just a simple majority vote.
That's it?
That's all.
Oh my gosh.
So, what they are fighting for is reform on that, where it would be, instead of a simple majority, it would be a concurrent majority.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't know what that means. A concurrent majority means you would take the simple majority of the total vote, just like we've been doing. But in addition to that, you would also have to pass it in a certain number of districts.
Okay.
So it could, and those districts could be based upon either the House districts for Missouri. Mm-hmm. There's 163, I believe. It could be based on the Missouri Senate districts, 30 something, or it could be based on the U.S. congressional districts, which there's only 8.
Yes.
So you would have to pass the 50% plus one on the regular vote,
mm-hmm.
and then you'd have to pass 50% plus one of the district map,
and
whichever.
50% plus one. So you have to,
so
like,
a simple majority. Okay. You know, just a simple majority
gotcha.
On both
gotcha.
Of them.
Gotcha.
But you'd have to meet both of those.
Both of those levels. Qualifications.
Yes.
Yeah.
To okay. equal the concurrent majority that you would need to actually change the Constitution.
Because it would feel like the majority of the people within the state finally have a say.
Yes, because the way it is now, Kansas City, St. Louis, Columbia, Springfield,
yeah,
they can pretty much pass whatever they want to and make the rural people, who are typically much more conservative-minded,
yep.
they can force their will on us, basically,
well,
with just a very simple vote.
And
we have marijuana in our Constitution.
We have marijuana in our Constitution.
Because of this, yes.
So that was, so the marijuana law was passed on a constitutional level.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes. So the reason why this is important right now
mm-hmm.
is because when Roe v. Wade got overturned
okay.
and it sent it back to the states,
mm-hmm.
now we have, Missouri is a real good pro-life state.
Yes, yes.
And we want to keep it that way,
mm-hmm.
But there are special interests inside and outside of Missouri who want to see a big change to our abortion laws. So they are trying to get enough signatures to get abortion put on our ballots in November. They're pretty radical with it.
Yes.
They want to see up to partial birth abortion
God.
Be legal in Missouri.
Yeah, I've been, you know, I've talked to some people about this, including a few doctors I've had on the podcast, and it absolutely terrifies me whenever we're talking about one post-birth, or what do you say, mid-birth?
Partial birth.
Partial birth. That's murder.
It's
I don't care what people say, in my opinion, and it's
yes.
fact. It's murder. If you can get a $25,000 fine for smashing an eagle egg, but you can rip a baby out of the womb and destroy
agree.
It. Oh, my God.
Agree.
I'm sorry. That's just, it's horrific.
Whenever you start messing with human life.
Yeah. That's.
I have a real problem with that.
Me too.
That is for God to do.
Yes.
Not man to do.
And we have a genocide in our time.
We definitely need to try to get this headed off.
Yeah.
But aside from the abortion thing, I kind of just think it's ridiculous that it only takes a simple majority to change the
agreed.
Highest law in Missouri.
Agreed.
Or the highest document in Missouri.
Yes. There should.
So I feel like that this concurrent majority would be great
mm-hmm.
either way, but in the end, it'll make it more representative of the whole state.
Yes.
So the rural voices are incorporated into that decision and not just having the liberal voices
exactly
and their ideas imposed on
us. Because, you know, that is a gripe whenever it comes to federal election or state level election, is that, you know, no matter what, like just take the presidential election, for example, you know, California is going to be blue, you know, because they have those big cities with the big population. If you go outside those big cities, there are a lot of red conservative people that are farming.
Flyover country.
Exactly. But they
the ones that feed them.
Exactly. But they have no voice because
right.
these big majorities in these cities, these I don't know what it's called, just heavily populated.
Yes.
Just there's so many people there that it just controls the whole state. And whenever you come to Missouri, the rural population of Missouri probably doesn't equal up to one of the cities of Kansas City or St. Louis or Springfield.
Right.
And yeah, it's scary whenever you've got these people who definitely lean towards a single ideology voting and controlling the whole state.
Right.
Yeah.
So I am absolutely for initiative petition reform.
Yeah.
I personally would like to see the House district map for Missouri be the district map that they put in place. I think that's the one that was proposed. Then I saw something the other day that made me think that had already been maybe switch to the U.S. congressional districts, which is only 8. So we would have to have 5 of the 8 to be able to pass a constitutional amendment, is still better than just a simple majority.
Well, but it adds in those safeguards to make sure that our Constitution is protected and it's a voice of the people if something gets amended.
Right.
You know, and I feel like that's a very logical and common sense thing.
Exactly. You know, I do too.
The biggest piece of paper in our state that rules us needs to be have some safeguards.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree.
So, let's see. What else do you want to talk about?
Do you mind touching on education for a second?
I don't mind at all.
Okay. I sat down with Secretary of State Ashcroft. John Ashcroft or Jay?
It's Jay.
Jay Ashcroft. I sat down with Jay Ashcroft, and he had a little meeting in the town talking about, you know, education reform and what he wants to see. He has this really cool idea, and I really do like it, about the funding of the child, following that child, whether it be homeschool, you know, whichever school or private school.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on education? Do you think we need some reform? Do you like how it is? Like, just what are your thoughts?
My thoughts on education are that local people need to have the control of their local schools to reflect the values of their community and so forth. I think that in theory, the idea of the money following the child, mm-hmm. it sounds really good.
Yes, it does.
It does. And in some ways, I can say, hey, yeah, that's something I'd jump on board with. But then you take a step back and you think, okay, what kind of a can of worms is that going to open up?
Yes.
And are we going to be able to get the lid back on that if we open that up?
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned about some of the problems it could cause.
Mm-hmm. Like saying there's kids homeschooling that aren't homeschooling and the funding is just...
Yes. Well, yes. The funding's being used for what?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I am very big on the government staying out of our decision as to whether we want to homeschool public school or private school our children. I think that that should be a choice of the parents.
Yes.
I can see problems with money following homeschool children for certain reasons.
Yes, for sure.
But at the same time, their parents are paying taxes too.
Exactly.
So it's really going to be a balancing act if they do try to open that can of worms.
Yeah.
The one thing that I am very strong on as far as an opinion is that I do not want to see the homeschools and the private schools being put under DESE control.
Yes.
Right now we have some of the best homeschool laws in the nation. Mm-hmm. People literally move to Missouri because they like our homeschool laws. And they're coming knowing that they're not going to get money
mm-hmm.
following the child.
Yes.
And they're still okay with that because we have good homeschool laws.
Yes.
So the current legislation, there's a bill that actually I believe was passed out of the Senate and is at the House now. And it's Senate Bill 727. Andrew Koenig was the sponsor of the bill. And
I'm going to write that down so I can look into that.
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
And the language in it that I don't like is that they're leaving it open for the homeschools and private schools to be put under DESE control. So that is a bill because of that language that I would not support.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to clean it up a little bit, you know, and the other thing is to figure out who's going to do what.
Yeah.
If this can of worms is opened,
mm-hmm.
I don't want it to be just a feather in their cap, in their hat, to say, we did this.
Just a tout.
But then leave a complete mess for everyone else to try to figure out the qualifying factors and, who is going to do that?
Yes.
The reason that I bring that up is mm-hmm. because they recently passed the, it was a tax reprieve basically mm-hmm. for the seniors on their real estate taxes, that their real estate assessment would be frozen if they are 65 and over and so on and so forth. But basically, working at the collector's office,
mm-hmm.
I can see a lot of problems with that because they just passed this bill, but they didn't put into place any of the parameters. Like, who is going to qualify these people? Is this going to be on just their primary residence? Is it going to be on, you know, like, so they didn't really nail down. Yeah. They just said, we're going to give you this tax relief.
As a blanket.
But then who's going to figure it out? Yeah. You know,
there's no safeguards.
It's kind of been left to the county, each county to do. And it just, I don't know. And it didn't come off as well as I think they would.
Yes. And I think, you know, that I think that happens a lot within government, is that there is good intention built in, but people are sneaky and they find ways around, you know. And whenever I talked to Mr. Ashcroft about the education reform, you know, and I said, well, you know, what about people who say they're homeschooling their kid, but these kids never get an education? And they,
yes.
And one of his arguments was, they're already doing it. You know, I said, yes, but would it incentivize more of that? You know, because look at welfare, look at all these social programs we do have in place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is a percentage who do take advantage in one way or another.
Yes.
And I think if we were to do something like money follow the children, quote unquote, it would have to be done with those safeguards in place and figure out a way for it to be effective.
Yes.
And another question I had while we're on the subject, mm-hmm. is DESE. Is DESE a federal or is it a state?
I believe it's just state.
It's just state. Yes. But it brings the state into the home to where they're controlling the homeschool.
Well, DESE is just the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education.
Gotcha.
So they're over the public schools right now.
Okay.
And they do a lot of telling the schools what they have to do curriculum-wise. If you take this money, you do this. If it's just like the feds, if you take this money, you do this. Lots of strings attached to things.
Okay.
That's why I am very concerned for homeschool and private school people, mm-hmm. who might want to take that money, but then there's going to be strings attached.
Exactly.
And
then you got DESE tone.
That's a no-go,
yeah.
for me, because yeah. I know what those strings generally consist of. And a lot of them are the very reasons why people pull their kids out of public school, mm-hmm. and want to do homeschool or private school.
Yep. I agree with you.
So we've got to protect them so there is a place for people to go if public school is not for their child.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, mm-hmm. and they feel that they would be better served in a homeschool environment or a private school environment, they need to have those options, mm-hmm. without the same strings attached.
Yes. Yes. That kind of keeps them open.
Yes.
You know, talking about education, I know it is such a stickly subject because, you know, there's really high passions on both sides of the educational debate. I'm just one citizen, but one of my main concerns with education is how there has been such a lack of reform since the beginning of it. You know, one of my biggest problems with how we are right now is it seems like it is training people for a world that is no longer there. As far as factory work, standing in line, you punch your time clock, you know, you eat at this time. I really wish Missouri would put a bigger passion or just energy into like vocational school and stop pushing. And college is fine for those who do need college, but we need linemen. We need police officers.
Absolutely.
We need sewer guys.
HVAC people.
Exactly.
We need plumbers. We need electricians.
They are the backbone of our society.
Yes. And if you've ever tried to have something done, mm-hmm. at your house,
oh, yeah.
the last few years,
they are busy.
You can't get people to come and do it hardly because
no. the ones
they are so busy.
Yep.
Yes.
And there's not enough people replacing them.
Exactly.
Yep. And it seems like.
So a big push for that, yes, would be fantastic. College is not for everyone. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for some people, but, you know, I do get it that the trades, we've got to get people ready for those kinds of jobs as well.
Yeah.
So I'm big on that. Yeah. And as far as this overall school choice thing, I want to hear from the constituents and see what their thoughts are, because I'm kind of at a, you know, I don't know what to think about that because I can see both sides of it.
Yeah, me too.
And not having a kid in school right now makes me a little more unbiased about just looking at it from the outside looking in. And I want to hear from the superintendents and the administration, and I want to hear from the parents and see what do you want in the way of school choice and any kind of reform.
Well, I like that. I mean, you're right. You know, wanting to talk to the people and see what they want. That's kind of, it's kind of become an uncommon thing, you know, among politicians.
I think if you look up the term representative, you'll know what I want to be. I want to be someone who is approachable and relatable and can sit down and have a conversation.
Yeah, just like we're doing right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I feel like in the past, we've had some that are not that approachable.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm just like you and the next guy down the street.
Yeah. Someone
I'm just one of you who loves our area, you know, our county, our state. And, you know, I just feel like there's a need for people like me to step up and run.
There is.
We need somebody with common sense, with a backbone, somebody who's willing to stand up for conservative values and beliefs. And if, you know, not me, then who? Yeah, come on, somebody. Come and file.
Yep.
And, you know, the other thing is, if not now, then when?
Yes.
Well, because honestly, our ship is sinking in some regards, and we can't wait much longer, if any longer at all, to start putting the right people in these positions.
And that's what scares me about the Conservative Party, because it seems like, you know, you have the more mild-mannered, chilled people, you know, that are on the Republican side, and they don't yell and scream and kick their feet. And it worries me because it's like, have the conservatives lost ground because they haven't been as passionate as what the Democratic Party has been? Because if you look around, the activism within the Democrat, they own the youth. You know, most of our youth, they own. And it's scary because those are going to be our voters in the next few years, in the next 10 years.
Yes.
You know, where does this go? We need to activate the youth of the Conservative Party. We need to activate the middle age, you know. I don't know. I feel like the Conservative Party needs to, like, they're kind of put on notice as far as we got to do something or we're going to lose.
Right.
You know.
And it excites me whenever I see young people who are conservative or do kind of have that conservative mindset.
Yes.
Probably a month ago, I went to Springfield and I had on a t-shirt, my Missouri Firearms Coalition t-shirt.
Oh, no.
And it has a patriot with a gun on the front of it. Yeah. And it says, never apologize for being a patriot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so pleased that I had three people that were anywhere from probably 16 to 25.
Yep.
Tell me, I like your t-shirt. And I thought, yes, there are still a few people out there. Yes, a few conservative minds that are young.
Exactly. Well, that's what worries me is, you know, these young adults that graduate high school, we turn them over to the college system and it has become an indoctrination process. And that's scary.
It is scary.
Because they're telling you how to think in there. And then they regurgitate you out into the world and they take over the tech companies. They take over the auto industry. They take over the manufacturing industry.
Yes.
And then
they parrot all those talking points and things that they've learned.
Yeah, we're seeing these green initiatives, you know, and the electric vehicle by 2027, you know. And
right.
It's just electric. That's
not working out real well for them.
No, it's not.
It really isn't. But I do have two success stories to talk about in terms of young minds. That my daughter went to Mizzou to college, and before she went, we literally sat her down and had a talk and said, here's what they're going to try to tell you. Mm-hmm. Here's what you know you have been taught and is the truth and the conservative values.
Yeah.
Don't let them get a hold of you.
That's sad that you even had to
let them get a hold of your mind.
Yeah.
And so she was on high alert. She came out unscathed, believe it or not, from Mizzou.
Strong.
Very proud of her. And then my son went to College of the Ozarks, so he was more sheltered from that type of stuff. But both of them with conservative minds as well. So I'm very proud of them.
But it's sad that you even had to, like, we're in a society where you had to sit her down and be like, listen, you are going to be the opposition up there.
Yes.
But I mean, good for her for standing up for what she believes in. You know,
she did a good job.
So. Yeah.
Okay, anything else you want to? I wanted to talk about the district map.
Yes, let's talk about that.
District. This map it has a lot of little different numbers on here. And it looks like from about a quarter mile east of County Road 2790, there's a crossroads with Highway 60 that is 2790. It's just past Trask toward Mountain View.
Okay.
About a quarter mile east of that is where the line that runs to the north, and everything east of that, let me back up.
Yeah.
Almost everything, it's a really weird map. Almost everything east of that is not in our district.
Okay.
And directly north of Mountain View, there are some parts of Mountain View around the city limits that are in our district. But north of Mountain View, all the way to the corner, the northeast corner of the county, that is not in District 154.
Wow.
And then there's just a little bit, an entire section, actually, that is on both sides of Highway 60. And it runs from the Shannon Howe line back toward Mountain View for a mile. That whole section is not in 154.
Gotcha.
So if you're around Mountain View, you need to find out which district you're in if you don't already know.
And is there a website or something that, or just type in District 154 and it would pull up?
You can look it up online. Okay. I got this information from the courthouse because it's much more specific. Mm-hmm. The one that's online, it shows you, but it's not, you can't zoom in and see the roads and real technical information about it. So I would suggest that you look on your voter ID card that may have it, or go to the courthouse and look at the map to see if you don't know. I'm wanting to visit Mountain View and make some contacts down there. And obviously I'm going to be real careful because the line is a little bit crazy, but I definitely want to meet some people. That's where I graduated, was at Mountain View.
So you're a Mountain View native. Yeah,
I am. I went to K through 12 at Mountain View and elementary and Liberty High School.
So did I.
So I graduated there in the 80s, and I won't say which part of the 80s. No, it really wasn't that bad.
Good, right? It was a good part.
But I do know a lot of people in Mountain View, and I'm anxious to kind of reconnect with them.
Yeah.
And it's been a few years since I've really spent a lot of time down there.
Well, I know. I mean, we'd love to get you into like a town hall meeting or a town hall forum, to where get people there to ask you questions and talk to you and just do a meet and greet. You know? And that's something I'd be willing to help set that up.
That would be fantastic. And I do have the gift of gab.
Yeah.
So I can talk to just about anyone.
Yep.
So I think that'll be very, very nice to meet the people and get my name out there. I feel like there was one other thing I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay. Not a problem at all.
There are.
Yeah, there's so much.
There are absolutely all kinds of topics.
Elections August 2nd? 6th.
It is August 6th.
6th.
For the primary. So, yeah, let's talk about who's on the ballot so far. So, Judge Evans, who is currently representing District 154, he had filed on the first day of filing.
Okay.
And that later on, he announced that he was going to withdraw.
Okay.
So anyway, I decided that I was going to file. I went and filed. And then Larry Lindemann, a fellow from West Plains, filed.
Okay.
And then I believe on the very last day of filing, Mark Collins, who was the former presiding commissioner, he also filed.
Okay.
And then on the second to the last day, Judge Evans did go and withdraw. And because he waited until the last 2 days, there is a little obscure law that says that if the incumbent withdraws within the last 2 days of filing, then the filing shall reopen. So, starting today through this coming Friday, filing has reopened. There's an opportunity for other people to file.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea if anyone has any intention to do so, but they can right now through Friday at 5:00.
Yep.
And then we'll know for sure who the final candidates are for the Republican side as of the close of original filing.
Mm-hmm.
There was one Democrat also that had filed.
Gotcha.
So there will be another race between August and November because there was a Democrat that filed. So.
One of my things is with government, I'm very distrusting of government as a whole. So anytime I see something like that, I'm like, there's a reason for it to be done. You know, I don't think anything happens for accident in politics anymore.
Right.
You know, so
I'm curious. But I won't comment any further on that. I thought it was weird, but I was expecting it.
Yeah.
Because I was aware of the law.
Yeah.
So.
And we'll just kind of ride the gravy train, see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
But I.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
So. And I'll just roll with it.
I really appreciate you coming on and talking and doing this. If you want, you've got an open seat anytime you want to come talk
Thank
to
you.
People. I'd love to have you on.
Thank
you got my support. And I wish you the best in this campaign.
Thank you very much. And one last thing I would like to say to people.
And get your website out there too, please.
Yes. I actually, in my own personal political life, have been very active in vetting my candidates.
Mm-hmm.
I believe strongly in vetting my candidates.
Yes.
So whenever I can at all, I make personal contact with candidate and I talk to them and see what their positions are on things and just get a feel for them as a human being.
Yes.
And I encourage everyone to do that. I think it's a really important part of the process. And when you walk into a poll and you have no clue who these people are and you're just marking a name, that's not good. That's not the way it is intended to be.
Exactly.
So I would just encourage everyone to vet your candidates, vet all of us, and come up with your decision and at least be informed and educated when you walk in.
Yep. Inform your own opinion and just look and see which one sets with you the best, you know. Or which one you...
Absolutely.
Yeah. But as far as where people can find you, website, social media...
Right. Yes, I do have a website that is Durnell for District 154 at... Or .com,
okay.
Sorry. Yes, Durnell for District 154.com.
And donations can be made there,
Donations
right?
can be made. There is, in the second paragraph on the homepage, there is a link to the giving side of it, and it's a secure giving site.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, campaigns are really expensive, so any help would be so appreciated.
Okay.
The smallest amount, up to $2,000 per individual.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's the limit on it, and cash donations can only have a max of $100.
Okay.
And we definitely want to follow all the campaign finance rules.
Absolutely.
So if you have any questions, you know, you can send me a message. I am on Facebook at Lisa Durnell for Missouri House District 154.
And I will add all these links into the bio of this interview so everyone can just click.
Perfect.
So if you guys want to donate or look her up, her links will be in the bio. Just click on them and you can go right to her page.
Okay. So, all right.
I really appreciate doing this.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Well, guys, this was the podcast today. Hope we answered some of your questions. Plan on having her on closer to Election Day down in August. So hopefully have her on in one or two more times. But, guys, cheers.